Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Joining me today is Lee Cantor, our producer. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. How has your week been so far?
Nobody's gotten hurt, Sam.
That's good. That's good, Lee. Also joining us today is Brad Culp in Dallas, Texas. Brad, are you there?
Brad.
Yes, we're here. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? How are things in Texas?
Brad.
You know what? We're hearing some garbling here, so I apologize to our listeners, but I'm going to assume that you said good morning, asked me how I was, and I'm going to just run with it.
Yeah, no, everything sounds good on our end here.
Okay, well, very good. Are you all ready for the trivia of the day?
Yes, can't wait.
All right, well, I have two bits of trivia here for you. First of all, do you guys know what the largest bill in circulation today is?
The $1,000 bill.
What do you say, Sam?
I've got no idea.
No idea. Well, it's actually a $100 bill. In 1969 on this date, yesterday in 1969, you could have spent a $500 bill, a $1,000 bill, a $5,000 bill, or a $10,000 bill. Those were all pulled out of circulation for some reason on this date in 1969. The other piece of trivia I have for you is Gerald Ford was born today in 1913, and that's not so interesting in and of itself, but when it popped up, I was reading it, and it said Gerald Rudolph Ford, Jr., born Leslie Lynch King, Jr., which I thought was kind of odd. So this guy has three completely different names than the name he was born with, and his name was changed 2.5 years later. So I didn't really pursue the detail on that, but that's kind of odd. The other thing about Gerald Ford, as long as we're talking about him, and he would have been 97 today had he lived. He died 3 years ago, but he was the only president to be neither elected as vice president or as president. So, anyway.
Now, how are you going to tie that to the show?
Well, he would have been 97 today, so he could have been one of our clients. So, all right. Well, without further ado, we've got a great show this morning. We've got a full house both here in Dallas and in Atlanta. In Dallas this morning, we have Charlene Wisdom and Patrick Shanahan representing Senior Services Alliance. I already got that wrong. I got that partly right. I'll let them explain. And in Atlanta, we have Lauren Dubrinsky, who is an artist, and Connie Dodge, who is the activities coordinator for the Cohen Home. So we're going to start in Atlanta this morning with Charlene and Patrick. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all this morning?
Very good.
Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for being here. Charlene and Patrick are co-founders of Senior Services Alliance in Irving and Las Colinas, and that's kind of their hobby, and they both have full-time day jobs, Charlene with Silverado Senior Living and Patrick with Senior Helpers Personal Care. So let me toss it over to you and just get you both to introduce yourselves. Give us a little bit of history on yourselves, where you're from, school, how you got to be doing what you're doing now, and then we'll kind of move into Senior Services Alliance. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I am Charlene Wisdom, and I am with Silverado Senior Living. We're in assisted living memory care. My background is such that, well, I started out in broadcast production, throw in a little public relations, and then bake it for a couple of years, and then you roll me into marketing. So I started with the healthcare industry about 5 years ago in the marketing department, Quickly fell in love with not only my daily responsibilities, but just interacting with the senior population, and obviously developing several surrogate grandparent relationships through through my tenure. So started out in independent living, grew a little bit in that, and then followed with experience in assisted living. Wanted to delve more deeply into the dementia-related illnesses that we're faced with today, so I quickly signed up with Silverado Senior Living about 2 years ago, and I've loved it ever since. We do a fabulous job in our community with community outreach and education, but speaking generally about what I do for that community, it's my job to go out and educate the public. That public could show up in the form of a physician, a nurse, someone, hospital staff, or it could be my next-door neighbor, to talk to them a little bit about the dementia-related illnesses, again, that we're being faced with today, and the resources that are offered to them. Many, unfortunately, aren't well-versed. They don't have a computer close to them, which just amazes me in this day and age. So, it's a word of mouth education, letting them know what resources are in the community, what medical advantages not only Silverado can give them, but the physicians in the area, the specialists, so on and so forth. So, that's what I do on a daily basis. That's my 9-to-5, if you want to call it that. That somehow equates into 60 hours a week.
I understand that. And are you a Texas native?
No, I was born on the East Coast.
I didn't think I heard that accent in there.
Originally from Lawrence, Massachusetts. Go Patriots. But I don't want to make any enemies here. So my parents moved here shortly after, and I had a great opportunity to know and love my grandparents, but unfortunately they live far away. Mm-hmm. So it's always driven me in that direction to be close to. And I know that this is somewhat of a cliche when someone says, I just love the history and I love talking to the senior population and the information they have. But truly, it's a benefit for me personally to be able to interact on a daily basis with the senior population and just grow from their experiences.
Well, it's amazing how many of our guests got into the senior services mm-hmm. environment or arena because of relationships with grandparents or volunteer opportunities. Mm-hmm. So your story is a familiar one. Mm-hmm. Let's move over to Patrick. Patrick, can you kind of give us the same kind of intro to yourself?
Yeah, certainly. And that was actually a good segue because I'm no different. I'm among all of the people who have a personal story behind my decision to get involved in this area. I'm Patrick Shanahan. I'm the owner and executive director for Senior Helpers. We're a non-medical personal assistance agency serving senior adults and their families in their homes or actually wherever they live. My background, however, is in IT. I was an information technology professional for almost 30 years, 26 years. Did a lot in that space. I ended up as a territory manager over 4 states. Serving the public sector, the government agencies, were, you know, governor's offices were my clients. So we talked to them about their technologies, and of course, among them was Health and Human Services. So I got a good introduction there. But at some point, you know, in a corporate career, you get to the point of saying, you know, I just really need to go out and do my own thing. And I'd always wanted to be a business person, but I had an overwhelming urge to need to do something noble. I needed to do something that mattered and nothing superficial, which I felt like I had been doing for decades. So I started researching businesses, and I came across personal assistance services, and what really resonated with me was the fact that I had personal experience in this area, like many other owners do. You know, my father struggled with cancer for many years and ultimately died. And I'm the last of 5 siblings, and it just so happened that he lived in the same city as my oldest sister, and the rest of us 4 lived down here in Texas. Mm. So his care fell completely on her shoulders. And, you know, that was quite an ordeal, and that does cause a lot of family stress. And quite frankly, at the end of it, she declared to us, okay, I had dad, you guys have mom. and she was still raising children of her own, and now I've come to learn that as the sandwich generation, which I'm sure you're familiar with, those of us that are still raising our children but now have to take care of our aging mm-hmm. parents. Mm-hmm. And that just really struck me. So I did a lot of research in this industry, and I found Senior Helpers as one of the national franchises, and their standards seem to be very much in line with my values, so I went with it, and it's been very personally rewarding.
Terrific. It's startling how close your story is to mine,
mm-hmm.
including the IT
similar.
Consulting.
Oh, is that right?
So very, very good. Well, you both have founded an organization. I guess it's an organization that has sub-organizations, but the parent organization is called Senior Service Alliances.
Right.
I'm curious, first of all, I'd love for you to talk about what it is and what its purpose is. I'm curious how the two of you got hooked up and how this thing was born.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, the mothership that you just announced, North Texas Senior Services Alliances, was an afterthought to our first group, which was Grapevine Senior Service Alliance. Charlene and I met as partners in marketing groups.
Yeah.
And for those service providers who are familiar with the myriad and volume of marketing groups out there, you're very commonly introducing yourself to the same people, shaking the same hands, and developing very superficial relationships.
Let's do lunch.
Yeah. Well, Charlene and I pretty quickly found a very complementary services, so we had a natural symbiotic business relationship. But we also wanted to solve some of the problems with marketing and close some of the gaps between senior services that we found. So in Texas, a lot of us are familiar with Tour 18. Are you familiar with the Tour 18 golf course?
Mm-hmm.
So the concept of Tour 18 is that they took the best holes of 18 different golf courses and they created one superior golf course. And that's really what we wanted to accomplish with SSA, was take the best concepts out there and create one superior senior services group. And some of the attributes that we admired in some of the other groups were, you know, an association with the Chamber of Commerce, where you have access to significant relationships like hospitals, and some kind of an efficient alternative to reintroducing yourself to the same people. But there were a couple of groups out there that had an altruistic element to them that we really admired. Giving back to the community that you do business in. Mm-hmm. And we really wanted to make that a highlight of the framework for SSA. So actually 50% of what we do is community focused. The other 50%, you know, feeds the business people in us and the networking. So we created this SSA framework with four goals. We have the business networking and the leverage marketing for the vendors. But then the other two are community awareness and education, such that we as providers actually get out there and do presentations to civic groups and adult children.
Corporations
about the entire spectrum of services. So when we go out to evangelize SSA, we're not talking about our individual businesses. We're educating the community about everything that's available.
Under that umbrella of Senior Services Alliance.
Under that umbrella. And then the fourth is actually community outreach, which is our opportunity to give back to the community. So we attach ourselves to, you know, a major charitable organization in the city like Grace and Grapevine. And
Irving, we have the Irving, you know, in Irving we have Irving Healthcare Foundation, and of course in Louisville it's CCA.
Right. And then we ask those groups what they're doing to serve seniors and how we can support them.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of fundraising. We do a lot of volunteer work. And we produce informational collateral that can be distributed across the city. And again, that represents everybody. So that's what we're doing, and it's become so popular we have a lot of other cities now asking us to bring that framework to their chambers. We started out with Grapevine. We quickly took it to Irving, and the list of cities was growing such that we had to establish the North Tech. We had to establish a mothership because we couldn't do all of these, but we had to protect the brand and what it symbolized.
Make sure it was consistent for each chapter.
Exactly. So the North Texas Senior Service Alliances group is the body that establishes the standards and practices and goals for each of the chapters.
So have you set that up as a 501c3? Or
not yet. It's in the process. We're also trademark pending because because the brand is also consistent. The only element of the brand that changes is the city logo,
mm-hmm.
the color scheme. But same standards and practices. And chambers love us because we attract membership,
right.
and we give back to the community, and we're self-sustaining. We really require very, very little of the chamber because we pretty much do everything ourselves based on the volunteer work of the providers.
And our fellow businesses love us because it gives them a natural opportunity not only to network leverage market mm-hmm. their own personal business, but it's direct outreach to the community, which is the group that we're really trying to hit,
mm-hmm.
the geriatric population. So we're it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, and we have a concept. Actually, I brought this from my IT world. You might be familiar with it. I learned it during my years at Microsoft, of the spirit of coopetition, and that's the fact that you may have a partner that you have very complementary services with, but a portion of what you do is actually crosses a competitive landscape. But you still have to focus on that common good, even though your competitors come together
right.
and do something right, very much like the Microsoft IBM,
sure.
co-opetition.
Yeah, yeah.
So we take the best of the best in the area, we house them under one umbrella, and we go out to the public, the senior population, or the sandwich generation, and we offer our services as a resource to them through collateral, through education and awareness, through auctioning off items, raising money. It shows itself in many different ways.
And you started this how long ago now?
Our first instantiation was Grapevine in January of 2009. Mm-hmm. Then we started Irving 6 months after that.
Uh-huh.
And then our most recent city is Lewisville, Texas, which started January of 2010.
Yeah.
And I think we have 4 or 5 cities on deck.
In addition to what we're already doing.
Never mind your day jobs, right?
All right. Yeah. But it's been very significant, and it's a feel-good thing as well.
Yeah.
It's terrific. Tell me about one or more of the events that you guys have held over the last year or so.
First and foremost, the arm of our group, which is the community outreach, they are directly in contact with our nonprofit groups. Again, that's GRACE in Grapevine, Irving Healthcare Foundation in Irving, and then CCA in Lewisville. I know for GRACE, initially, when we were communicating with them and the hospital, a serious issue that they were facing was transportation. So we were able to get the left hand introduced to the right hand so that the right people were speaking to one another, and resources were offered, and I think that went really well.
Yeah, so on that particular issue, it's just a matter of facilitating conversations between
right.
groups that were out there that didn't know about the other groups. We,
mm-hmm.
we actually were talking to the social workers at the hospital in Grapevine, and they said, we have an overwhelmed volunteer group for transportation at the low end of the spectrum and an mm-hmm. overpriced transportation solution at the high end of the spectrum
right.
and a huge gap in between.
Yeah.
And the more people we talk to, the more we realize there actually are solutions out there. They
mm-hmm.
just need to talk to each
mm-hmm.
other.
Interesting.
So that's one of the items. Another of recent is the Irving SSA has taken on an initiative to have an auction, a charity auction, which is August 19th. Mark your calendars, everyone. We're going to be raising money for their CHF program there at Baylor Irving in conjunction with the Irving Healthcare Foundation. This is huge because with tightening of budgets and purse strings, some of the programs have had to set out for the 2000, So Irving FSA was able to step up, take that initiative on, and we're very excited about being able to facilitate a charity auction.
How did you pick that particular initiative?
Irving Healthcare Foundation came to us and said, you know what, we really need help. We don't have the money to buy the scales that the patients weigh themselves on a daily basis so that they can call in to their healthcare provider and say, this is what I weigh, so that they can mark their progress or where they are in their CHF program.
So one of the things that this money will go for will be to put scales in the hands of patients.
Yes, that's exactly what this program will go for. That's exactly what we're raising money for this charity, so that we're able to put the scales in the senior or in the population, in the Irving population's houses, in their residences, so that they're able to weigh themselves on a daily basis. And it's a simple thing, and you don't think much of it. But you know what? When you're making those decisions and you're having to buy medication or you're having to do this, there are some things that just can't be paid for. Right. So we stepped up, and we're going to be able to handle that.
That's terrific. Sounds like a great initiative and a great cause.
Yeah. And if I may, another that we're doing is Vial of Life, which that is currently rolled out in all three cities. We have it, of course, in Grapevine, in Irving, and in Lewisville. And this is a fantastic program that goes directly into the senior houses, into the residence. And it's in the way of a sticker that is placed on the door so that any authority, city authority, be it a police officer or fire department, when they walk in the door, they know that all medical records, all pertinent information directly related to that person, that body in that house, is kept in one area of the house so that they're not having to sift through tons of papers to figure out what medication they're on. It's located typically on the refrigerator in an envelope, and SSA is responsible for working directly with the authorities in our local areas, making sure that all seniors have that advantage.
That's great. Okay, well, we are coming to the end of our time. I want to ask you to just kind of give some advice for listeners. And we were talking earlier, one of you is going to talk about advice from the perspective of a family member that might be looking for resources, and the other is going to talk about advice from the perspective of a senior services provider that might want to get involved with SSA. So,
okay. All right. Well, professionally, I can personally attest that Senior Services Alliance is a fantastic organization, a typical networking group. Truly, when you walk in the door, it's nonstop from the time you sit down for the meeting until the time you leave. Not only are you networking, are you, again, leveraging your marketing, but you're making those contacts with each other that you otherwise wouldn't be able to, because we all know as marketers or as people in our own businesses out there, it's really hard to make that key contact. And I know this organization, because it's attached to the chamber, because it has the outreach that it does, I've personally have seen benefit in just the amount of people that I've been able to meet. And what comes out of that is not necessarily a direct referral, but it's branding. It's about being able to talk about what you do in your 9-to-5 job. It's about building those relationships so that when they get to know you and they know your business, then down the line they're able to comfortably refer you, and that's what we're all looking for. We all have to answer to the higher power, be it the corporate office or your wife at home with the bank account, and so we need to make sure that what we delve into, what we spend our time on, is lucrative. You want to that emotional bank account to be filled, but you also have to have your monetary bank account filled. So this gives you an opportunity to do both.
Great, thank you, Patrick.
For seniors and the adult children of seniors, my advice is know your options and prepare. In my line of business and your line of business, I think that more often we encounter adult children who are simply unprepared. They're so overwhelmed by taking care of their parents and their children at the same time, it's a really good idea to research your options up front. You know, had I known about personal assistance services that could have been provided in home during my during my father's struggle, I'm sure every one of us children would have chipped in to do that. And I mean, it really delivers peace of mind, and you know, really relieves that contentious conversation within family members about, you know, the decision to go into a nursing home or assisted living. So know that. I'd say for all adult children, on behalf of your children, buy long-term care insurance.
That's huge.
Life insurance is one thing, but you know, outliving your health is quite another matter. So get your long-term health insurance and save your children. Contact a geriatric care manager or a professional. Contact your chamber of commerce and see if they have an SSA organization.
Terrific. Thank you. Both good bits of wisdom. So this will be slightly extended as well, but I'd like to ask you to tell us, if our listeners are interested, how to reach you, and if you could tell us how to reach you personally, and then how to contact the SSA.
Okay.
Well, personally, if you have any questions regarding assisted living memory care, and that could show itself in temporary respite stay, it could be what we call flex care, which would be care during the day, or it could be long-term care for a family member or a loved one who's afflicted with a dementia-related illness. And we all know that they're pretty debilitating. It shows itself in Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, PICs, Lewy bodies. So if you have any questions related to that, you can reach me at 469-525-8868, or you can reach me at the main number, which is 972-831-8200. And that's Silver Your Living. Thank you.
And is there a website?
There's a website. It is www.silveradosenior.com.
Very good. And Patrick?
Okay. For my services, my agency is called Senior Helpers, and our administrative office is actually in Irving, and we have another office in Louisville. Our main number is 972-231333. You can also email me. There's an email address that gets directly to me. It's DFW, and that's Dallas-Fort Worth. So it's dfw@seniorhelpers.com, and our website, obviously, is seniorhelpers.com.
Okay, and how about contacting Senior Services Alliance?
So for Senior Services Alliance, if you are interested, I'd find one of our chapters. Right now, there are three that are out there, are Grapevine, Texas, Irving, Texas, and Louisville. You can contact any one of those chamber offices to get information about the SSA or in contact with us, or you can just contact Charlene or I directly at the numbers that we gave you for us to give you that information.
Very good. Again, Patrick and Charlene, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Sam.
I'm going to turn it back to you now.
We thank both of Patrick and Charlene. Thank you very much, Brad, for the great information. Here in Atlanta, we have two guests that have what I'm going to say is a unique relationship. We have Lauren Dobrinsky. Lauren is an artist who has, again, a unique opportunity in the senior market that we want to talk about. And also joining us is Connie Dodge. Connie is the activities director for the Cohen Home. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Lauren, let's begin with you. Very simple. How does an artist get involved in a senior market? What's that all about? Tell us your background and how you came to be in this position.
Okay. Thank you, Sam. My background is I was an art major at SUNY Binghamton, and I majored in art and art history. I've always had a passion for relating to seniors all through my life, and most recently I was able to put the two together. I was at a virtual tour. I take real estate photography, and one of the women there.
So you were at this place, and you were just doing your job as a real estate photographer, and then you casually mentioned that you were an artist. Is that what happened?
Yep, that's what happened.
And then when you mentioned it, were they like, wow, that's awesome. We could sure use an artist here.
Yeah, they said, well, we're looking to implement an art program at some of our senior communities.
So, but you had never taught an art class, but you had been an artist? Is that right?
Well, I've taught many children's art classes.
Oh, so you had taught children, but you've never done seniors.
Right.
But you thought, how much different can it be, right?
Oh, no. I knew it was going to be a lot different.
Is it a lot different?
Yes.
Is it really? What are some of the differences?
With the kids, they're, well, first of all, they don't have any level of...
Like coordination, is that more of a problem?
Coordination's a problem. They're
attention.
Dementia.
Oh, the attention span? Like for the little child and then a person suffering from dementia?
Well, it's not so much an attention span. You know, they're just in a completely different place. The kids are growing, and they're so excited by their progress. And then the seniors, they start out usually in a frustrated place. And
so, how do you move them? Like, when do you do it with like crayons or paint, or what materials do you use?
Oh, I use some variety of materials. I use chalk pastels, oil pastels, watercolors.
So you just give it to them and let them go nuts?
No,
and just like,
no,
hey,
no.
Yeah, just throw some stuff against the paper?
No, well, actually, I didn't really know what to do with them when I started because I didn't know what they were capable of.
Right. So how'd you get, so what was that first day like? You walk in there, you had all your stuff. I'm sure you were nervous.
Well, the first thing I did at the first place, and I actually continued to do that as a first project, is we decorated glass jars with tissue paper, which I thought was going to be really easy for them. And some of them were very challenged and frustrated with it. And I just tried different things each week until I found what they
what
felt
they were
comfortable
capable
about.
With. So what was the thing that they were comfortable with?
Well, surprisingly, they were very good at drawing. I would present them with a drawing, a simple one. And
like what's a simple one? A stick figure?
Like a house.
A house. And then so you would help them draw the lines of the house, or they would do that on their own?
Well, some of them did on their own, and I was surprised to see those people that they were able to do that. And some of them needed help watching me, you know, draw it on my paper.
Right.
And then others needed me to make dotted lines and have them connect the lines.
Oh, so I'm sure that's a good skill for them to kind of learn something new. So these are people that hadn't have any art background, do you think?
Well, some of them do. Some of them were, you know, very accomplished artists in their younger years.
When they were doing it, is it like kind of a child's house that looks kind of two-dimensional, or are some of them actually doing like kind of a three-dimensionally looking house?
They're doing, you know, I guess one-dimensional, just flat, and then... I used chalk pastels with them because they're real easy to manipulate.
Right.
And we were amazed at some of the stuff that comes out of these classes. So.
When did you realize that, wow, this is really having a positive impact on these people? Was that right away? Did it take you a long time to get through the kind of the frustration that they were having and your ability to choose the right materials that will help them succeed?
Well, especially with the... You know, the first time, they were my guinea pigs. And after, like, that class and the next one, I came home and said, oh, boy, I don't think I like this so much. You know, I want my kids back. And then I don't know what happened. I guess as I started building relationships with some of my women, and some of them are my favorites, that's when it all started to come together to just not compare them to the kids and help them with who they are and where they were at.
Is it mostly women that do this?
Mostly women. Really? I have a man or two in each class.
Just because they want to pick up the women?
Probably.
Like a dating thing?
Yeah, I think so. One man was holding the lady's hand.
That's
yesterday.
A topic for a different show.
Another show.
That's right.
Yeah,
so,
we've seen that.
That's right. Exactly.
It wasn't.
Lauren, can you tell us, is there a particular case where you saw this rose blossom? And just tell us about it if you have a situation like that.
Well, I could think of three of my women
pick one. Pick your favorite.
The most amazing thing that this woman, Nancy, had produced, she took a photograph of a flower, and she's been working on it for several weeks, and it is just unbelievable to see what these people could do, you know, where at the beginning they're like, ah, I'm not an artist, I can't do this, and I just, you know, keep coming over to them, and I say, okay, well, can you do this? And they're like, oh, yeah, I can't do that. So,
do you see, as this process occurs, do you see a change in the individual from a from their
demeanor?
Yeah.
Well, some of them, you know, they got to know me and they're so glad to see me. Mm-hmm. And you know, the first day she could barely do anything, and now she's, you know, drawing pictures, and she likes to use blue a lot. So. I'm able to see with some of them. Some of them, quite frankly, don't remember that I came the last
week. I understand.
So every week is the first week for them.
Right, right. Like 50 dates or whatever it was called. So.
Is that frustrating for you as the instructor, or do you just kind of have to accept that as just that's how it is?
Yeah, I just go with it. It doesn't. It's not frustrating.
Yeah, I see the biggest thing, and you can correct me, Lauren, if I'm wrong, is the relationships through the art that you develop. And when you come to these seniors, and my experience has been they're starving for that. And whether they remember, as you said, or not, they still are starving for that relationship. And you provide them a means to easily establish a relationship and some commonality that they can relate to on a weekly basis. That would be my take. What's your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I definitely find that to be true. But the maybe the even more important thing than them creating their art, or equally important, is the relationships that I've built with them and they with me. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're so excited to see me every week, and that's been, you know, an unbelievable part of this, I think, for not only me, but them. And if I could share a personal story.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, how I've built some very, very meaningful and special relationships with some of my, let's call them students. Recently, I've had the privilege of building a beautiful relationship with an extraordinary woman and artist. And unfortunately, she passed away yesterday, and rather than feel sad, my heart is full, and I feel honored and blessed to have spent her last weeks with her. I actually created a sculpture for her that I brought to her a couple of weeks before she died, and although legally blind, she was able to tell that it had beautiful colors and gold and silver, and that it looked like it was, she called it my castle. So
those are the things, that's why we're in the business that we're in, for that right there. That's a great story.
And she was 100 years old.
That's fantastic. Wow. Let's kind of segue over to Connie. Connie is the activities director at one of the facilities that Lauren visits. Good morning, Connie. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Sam?
Why don't you give us a little bit of your background? How did you get to the Cohen home? And then, if you will, tell us about the relationship with Lauren and how you view that.
Mm-hmm. I am originally from Illinois, and my degrees are in communications and urban studies. And that seems maybe far afoul from working with seniors, but I've been also a professional storyteller for 20 years, and as I would do storytelling and teach storytelling, when seniors were in my classes, they're hungry to know that their life is still important, that I'm still giving something that is special in the world. And so often their own families feel like they've heard all the stories or just don't have time to sit down with them. And so for me to be able to do in a creative story class, listened to one of the women tell me about how she and her husband met and what their courtship was like, and listen to it all, listen with my delighted attention to her. And then I wrote it up for her afterwards. When she could hardly wait to read it to family members. She could hardly wait to read it to the other residents. She could hardly wait to tell it out loud. And you could see it just glowing off of her. When I said to her, "That is so romantic," it was like she had never thought of it that way. Oh, it's so romantic. And she told it again and again and would carry it around again and again. My storytelling fits in with the activities that I do because you can come up with the slightest question. One day I used a question, let's just talk about a trip you took. And you expect most people to maybe be talking about when they took their children to Orlando, you know, to Disney World. One of the men was from India, and he said, "I took a journey when I was 12 years old when India and Pakistan were partitioned. And my family, there were no planes, no boats, no trains, no public transportation. We had to walk, pulling a cart. But there was so much violence, we would pass friends who had been killed. And my parents just said, we have to all separate. And so I walked alone all the way out of the country to where I could meet my family again." That was a story he had not told to any member of his family in his whole life.
You know, we were speaking before the show, and both of you are artists, and both of you create pictures. Your words, your stories, paint those pictures in the minds of the listeners. And as you were telling that story, I'm creating this image in my mind. That's a great relationship. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with Lauren, and how does that all come into play into what you're doing at the Cohen Home?
Well, at the Cohen Home, I come up with an activity calendar every month, and according to who the residents are, and we have 22 residents, a very intimate community, a very charming community. And unlike for an assisted living, you only have to have one staff member for every 15 people. Well, we have one for every five. And so it is a very close relationship. And we want to bring in whatever people need. So if one person wants to play bocce ball, we're going to have bocce ball. If one person wants to play mahjong, we're going to play mahjong. We had a couple of people who had been artists, but most of the rest would have said, "Oh, no, I'm not artistic." Well, when Lauren contacted us, I could tell immediately, talking to her on the phone and just knowing that one assisted living after another was passing on the word about how good she was one-on-one with people. So we set a time for her to come, and what she does so well is just tune right in to the individual resident. She's using their names. She wants to always be in a personal relationship. She takes the person who just says, "Oh, I'm just going to come and watch. I'm not going to be part of it." And little by little, "Oh, here, try this color and see what that does on this. Oh, you know, what do you think if you took this beautiful stone and added it to your bottle? Oh, wow, look at this sparkly paint. What do you think about this?" That tactile sense so often does not get stimulated enough. People don't get touched enough. They lose so many capabilities. So that doing an art project is, it gets them back in touch. It gets a resident who maybe always would say, no, I can't do crafts. Oh, I can't do it. I'll do it wrong. You know, she sets the tone that there is no wrong way to do it. And so we have been really, really pleased having Lauren come and work with our folks. There's maybe only one of our residents who you would call a real artist from her earlier years, but she doesn't do it anymore. Well, Lauren is able to open up some doors for her to get involved. Then with others of our folks who would never be drawn out she just gets them in the room, and you know, we have a lot of helpers there, volunteers, and she just gets them trying one thing, mm-hmm. and then maybe they'll try something else, and then they look at what somebody else is doing and get another idea. And the things they're creating are so unique and lovely. And they can look at them afterwards and realize, I did that.
Yeah. Do they take pride in when they finish something? Is it something you display? Is it in the public area, or they keep it in their rooms? How do their family feel about their art?
I like to find a way to use them in a public area. For instance, we're going to have a theme dinner. We have a theme dinner every fourth Tuesday of the month. And the theme this month is celebrating the red, white, and blue, patriotism. So I asked Lauren last time if she would do a project primarily using red, white, and blue. So she had them decorate plates, and they're gorgeous. They have they're three-dimensional. They have spools or beads or stones and paint. And we will use those both on the tables and as hanging decorations. And the families are all invited to those dinners, so they will definitely see them. Sometimes we'll take a piece of their artwork and put it on the little shelf that is the entryway to their door, if it seems like it's appropriate there. But the families like to see that kind of involvement. They like to know what their family member is doing. I mean, many of the things we do have to do with entertainment. We bring in entertainment, or we may go out for entertainment. But this, an art activity is really hands-on. The same thing happens with cooking. You know, it'll be very hands-on. Oh, no, I can't decorate a cake. But, right. Well, here, will you just separate these M&Ms and pull out the blue ones? Or, oh, here, just hand the spatula with frosting on it. And then they'll come up with a work of art that Lauren might have inspired, but it's on a cake.
I see even an additional value for the family members, not necessarily for your resident, but there is a tangible item to hand down to the family members as a legacy, if that's the way you want to describe it. I mean, your cake, it's great, but it's consumed. Your entertainment, I mean, there's nothing to pass on. This is something that can be passed on.
Right,
to
the grandma did.
Exactly, right. Exactly. What a great value to people like me, to the family members.
Do you ever do things where they take a picture maybe of their family and then you incorporate that in the art so they can create something that's a memento?
Well, no, I never thought of that, but I can do that.
For the family members, I think it'd be great. Take it and run with it, Lauren. We'll give you credit for it.
Well, one thing I wanted to add is some of the locations I go to are going to do art shows every, you know, 3 or 4 months to display their family art. And
oh, that's great.
Display the residents' art.
That, wow.
That's fantastic, fantastic. Well, you know, I told you, Lauren, that my wife is a degree artist, and I'm sitting here going, she could do the same thing. So we'll stay out of your territory. Connie, tell us if you can. Can you relate to our listeners a story as it relates to what Lauren is doing that might be
the kind
a
of
heartfelt
right,
story
that captures
what you're doing?
Right, like maybe that the residents has shared with you after Lauren had left, maybe they've expressed you know, how this art is making them feel, or a level of pride or something.
Well, there are not always people who can respond afterwards about something like that in the same way that Lauren may have done a project with someone and 2 hours later they don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The same thing might happen, let's say, if I take them on an outing and come back and they'll say, oh, why didn't you invite me? I would have wanted to go.
Right.
But what I know has happened is that either through Lauren they've been tactilely stimulated, mm-hmm. visually stimulated, in the same sense that if they went out, they heard the entertainment, they were with us on the educational trip, they have, I know that when you're happy, you're creating those endorphins, you are just happier. Your brain is more stimulated. Whatever it is may trigger you being able to talk about some time in your life. "Oh, do you remember the last time that you worked in paint? The last time you painted a picture, so later I may be able to use it as a cue when you are talking out loud about something. It triggers memory."
Absolutely, and these people, regardless of the stage of dementia that they may or may not be in, they remember. They remember at some level. They may not be able to communicate it. They may not be able to articulate it. But there is that effect that it has. I've seen it too many times, I know.
And also, there's the dexterity in your hands.
Exactly.
You know, you're holding a paintbrush. You are spreading paint. You're doing movements that you have not done in a while.
Something that they're creating, not listening, but participating. They're actively part of it. It's great, great therapy. I think it's fantastic. That's great.
Well, one thing you're asking about is if they remember things, you know. But to me, it doesn't matter if they remember. You know, one guy didn't know he even came 5 minutes later. He sees his artwork. He's like, "Ooh, that's nice. Who did that?"
And it was him.
But just the fact while they're there and, you know, these people, whether they have dementia or something else or nothing, they're present there and they've enjoyed the hour or more that we've been all together. And
so for Lauren, what for you is it, you know, when you got into it, it was kind of the unknown. Now you've been doing it for a while. How is it for you? Do you enjoy it?
Oh, I love it. You know, my little girl who's 9, she's like, "Mommy, do you like your work?" "Yes, Hannah, I love my work." "Do you get paid?" "Yeah, I get paid." She's like, "Well, that's good. You're working and you're doing something that you like." I mean, I have, you know, every week I'm like, "Oh, I can't wait to see, you know, XYZ."
That's nice.
That's great. Lauren, for a resident that might come to you and never had any inkling or classes in art, and they say, I'm interested, but I'm afraid." What piece of advice might you give that listener that has that issue?
Well, I would suggest that they or someone that can go for them to the art supply store and get some different materials. I would recommend, like I said, the chalk pastels and the oil pastels and watercolors, and to get all the different kinds of paper that work well with it, because if you don't have good supplies, then, you know, it doesn't come out how it should. And then just encourage them to experiment with each thing, not even try and make a picture, if you will. And I think that really opens the door for them.
Yeah, get started. Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. If our listeners would like to contact you personally, Lauren, how can they do that?
They can reach me by email, which is Lauren Dubrinsky, LaurenDubrinsky, at comcast.net. And my cell phone number is 678-458-3474.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. As we move over to Connie, for you, if you were to give a family one piece of advice regarding any aspect of care for their aging or disabled loved one, what might that be?
What I would say is be present as much as possible with your elder and be listening. Let them have their emotions. Don't make a judgment on that. Don't try to close them down, because seniors are undergoing so much change. You're losing your bodily capabilities. You maybe have lost your spouse. You've lost perhaps your home. And in order to really get over all that change, you need to be listened to. You need to be able to grieve.
That's great. Thank you. And how could our listeners reach you personally or at the Cohen Home if they'd like to do that?
The Cohen Home, the phone number is 770-475-8787. It is the Cohen Home, C-O-H-E-N. My email there is Connie, C-O-N-N-I-E, D as in David, at cohenhome.org. And you could talk with anyone who answered the phone there, and they could tell you more about what our community offers.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate that. Thank you very much. That's it for today. We want to thank Connie and Lauren both for joining us. Thank you very much. We also want to thank for our listeners for tuning in and remind them that if they'd like to listen to a recording of today's broadcast, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.